Should you bring it up or should I? I'm just going to listen to Paul and I'll go on tangents.
That's what I'm here. That's what I need you here for.
Yeah, I'll go on tangents.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
There should be a buzzer for that.
Ding, ding, ding.
Uh-oh. All
right, let's do it. Welcome back to Tipsy Theology. I've got two strapping boys. I was calling myself one.
You're a strapping boy.
Thank you. He's sitting here next to me. To the right of me is a young man by the name of Thomas. He's my brother.
Yes.
We've had you on here before.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's nice to be back.
Hold the mic a little closer.
Oh, it's nice to be back, but I will say... you know, a lot of people ask, like, are we actually brothers?
Yeah.
And it's a yes. And I know there are not all siblings share parents, but sometimes
it
happens.
Or they might share, like, a parent. Like, their mom is the same but a different dad.
True.
But our moms are the same.
Yeah, and so are our dads.
Correct.
And there's only one of each.
That's right.
So...
So we're one set involved in this mix up.
So it's the real deal.
And then to the left of me, I've got old Russell.
You know, and I get some of the same questions. Are we brothers? Yeah. Is one of them.
That's true.
I feel like we could pass as brothers.
You guys could pass quicker than I can.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually funny. So this is your first time on the podcast.
It is.
But your wife has been on the podcast before.
That's true.
So we're going to talk about sex slavery.
Oh, okay. The follow-up.
I feel very uncomfortable. I think I'm done.
I'm out. This
Sorry.
Is not fun.
I don't want to talk about that.
Well, today, it's Christmas. That's when we're posting this, which is tomorrow.
Yeah, you suckered me in. Here I am. And here we go.
And you know what? It's Christmas. This is the time of year where we defrost Mariah Carey. And all of the Redditors come out, scratching their neck beards, saying, Christmas is a pagan holiday. It's probably other people, too. But, you know, everyone's like, oh, Christmas is pagan. And you know what I say to that? I say it's hogwash.
Yeah, yeah.
I say, bah, humbug.
And is that just because of, like, how it's what it's become in our society that you're like, it's all hogwash?
Well, no, I mean the tying it to, like, Christmas used to be, it's, like, taken from pagan roots, or it used to be pagan.
So you're saying it's not?
I'm saying it's not.
So does that mean the movie I just watched last night...
Oh, we'll get into that.
Yeah, so, like, it had Viking origins.
Yeah.
At least in the movie I saw.
Some people say that. Some people are over here like, oh, Santa Claus is actually Odin, or he's based on Odin. I'm like... Come on. Nuh-uh.
But I don't... it sounds funny, but like, how do we know it's not true?
I'm so glad you asked. And you know what? Before we jump into all of that, talking about the big old fat man himself, Santa Claus, we're going to have a drink.
Okay.
But today, I thought we would do it a little bit different because since, you know... You know, we're talking about Christmas, we're talking about Santa Claus, and Santa Claus was a poster child for Coca-Cola.
That's true.
And so I was like, let's drink some Coca-Cola. And actually, so I have a little special treat. I've got two kinds with me. I was able to score, it was only two bottles, of Mexican Coke. And you know what I have next to it? And a lot more of it.
Jingle jangle!
Is American Coke.
Okay.
And the first thing that I noticed is the Mexican Coke, the bottles are just better.
I mean, they're bigger.
They're more slender. They're more this looks like a little pug dog. Like someone stepped on it.
Yeah, I feel like it's like what people think it should look like.
Yeah. This is what I think of when I think of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which one do you guys want to try first? We're going to dive into this.
America.
You got to go with the good stuff.
Oh, man.
America. Hey, why are you getting that?
Made in China, by the way.
The ingredients taste better in these ones.
Hey, I actually, I've heard that, but maybe we can just prove that today.
I think we got to test it out, because this one is cane sugar.
That's true.
And those ones are high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, they're the good stuff.
That's my America. But, you know, this it wouldn't be tipsy theology if we weren't getting a little tipsy.
That's true.
And so what goes well with Coca-Cola? Well, it's my good friend Jack Daniels.
Uncle Jack.
Uncle Jack. Home for the holidays. And gets me through the holidays.
Well, hey, while we're getting this ready, I actually have a question for...
Well, let me pop that open for you while you're asking your question.
Well, so Russell, did you believe in Santa Claus growing up?
You know, that's a interesting question because there was a bit of yes and no. So I think the environment told me no. But my little child heart wanted it to be yes for a few years there.
So, like, what was the moment?
How this is going to work is drink a little bit, like, down to here. Drink, like, down to there, and we're filling it up with Jack Daniels.
Got it. Got it.
That's how we're doing it.
So, Russell, what was the moment that you were like, okay, there has to be one or the other? Like, what was that moment, defining moment where you're like, okay, Santa isn't real?
Well, let me tell you a story. We're going to back this up a little bit till like I was 5, maybe 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And I lived in a country where we didn't have a fireplace or a chimney. And how could Santa deliver presents if there wasn't a chimney? So one day I decided I'm going to solve this. And I stayed up really late and I listened for the sounds of Santa on the roof and coming down the chimney where we had this kind of fake fireplace. And then I realized the only sounds that I was hearing were the footsteps of my own parents.
Oh, no.
And at that moment, I realized it's all a sham.
Your hopes and dreams.
You've been had.
Did you ever believe in Santa?
You know, I don't really... I have to ask our parents, but basically, I remember being a kid... not believing my dad when he's like, no, I see the tracks, you see? And we'd even have like our I now know it was our uncle would come over dressed as Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And he would be like, oh, how's it going?
You guys had the deep state representing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I remember looking at my dad one night after he was like really trying to sell the Santa thing hard. And I was just like, you know, Dad, I really like the truth. And I don't really think that's what I'm getting here tonight.
For any of you audio listeners, I got a little happy with the filling.
We got a little more Jack and a little less Coke.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, so, you know, I always had a skepticism about my my thoughts on Santa. So,
oh, man, I can't win this one. I think there's not enough air.
I think you're just too excited. I think you had too much pop.
I think you had too much pop. It's so for me, I never believed in Santa, from what I can remember, because it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, but it's magic.
And I was like, it doesn't add up.
But you can explain it with magic.
You just gotta believe.
That was my problem.
All this time, Santa's just shaking his head.
He's like, do you want me to fill that up?
Yeah.
Me? Let's top that up. I might get a little Jack Daniels heavy on the top.
So I...
But all that to say is, because I did the same thing as you, Russell. I was like, you know what? I don't believe in this, but I need to verify.
Paul, your shoe is soaked.
Yeah. I'm thinking about drinking it a little bit later. It's not pouring well.
The funnel isn't
working. Do you want to hold it up a little bit? There we go.
I think it's because there's no air.
That's what it is, yeah. That's what I'm looking for.
This is going to be crazy.
I think it's going to be all Jack Daniels on top.
Here, I'll hold yours too.
Oh, I already filled mine up.
Oh.
Thank you. Yeah, my shoe is a little boozy. So I don't, as far as I can remember, I never believed in it. And I stayed up late one night to see like what it was. And yeah, it was just my parents. I think it's just straight Jack Daniels on top.
Oh my gosh. That was, oh.
Woo! My man's struggling a bit.
We're gonna party. It tastes better the more you get into it.
Yeah, you won't even care what it tastes
Uncle
like.
Uncle Jack, no. You haven't failed me yet.
Uncle Jack, You just gotta warm up to them. Yeah, you know, like, you don't see your friend for like a few years, and you gotta like warm up into being friends.
That's right. It's like, can we? Will we? Have we? Yeah,
will they? Won't they? Wait,
have we? What?
Anyway, you know, much like this drink, well, Jack Daniel's Jack and Coke has been a favorite go-to for many drinkers for decades. Santa has also been a favorite pastime for many. There's a lot of history, and confusing history at that, and that's involved around Christmas and its traditions. And so, why are we drinking Jack and Coke today? Well, because in 1931, Coca-Cola commissioned illustrator Haddon Sundblom, what a name, to paint Santa for Christmas advertisements. Those paintings helped to establish Santa as a warm, happy character with human features, including rosy cheeks, a white beard, twinkling eyes, and laughter lines.
So pause, was he not technically human prior?
That's a good question. So it depends on what culture you go to.
Really?
And so we're going to get into some of the history
of
it.
Okay.
And it's kind of a very interesting... I might just read this off to you guys, the historical side of it, because it's very, very interesting. So Sundblom drew inspiration from an 1822 poem by Clement Clark Moore called "'Twas a Night Before Christmas."
Oh.
Or if you want to be like one of those fancy lads, it was called "A Visit from St. Nicholas," commonly known as "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." Okay. That's what they say every time, and I'm like, stop making me cringe. It's "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." No one's ever heard of the other name. but that's recent history.
Yeah, how recent? That's like 200 years ago?
100.
100?
Well, since Coca-Cola took it over. 200 since the poem. And so let's go back to the beginning.
Okay. So prior to 200 years ago.
Yeah. So who's the fun-loving fat man who gives us gifts?
Yes.
My father. did you have something?
No, I was thinking about the origins.
Oh, yeah.
But I think I'll let you take away the origins of Santa.
Well, actually, so before I jump into some of the quote-unquote actual history, and I'll get into why I say quote-unquote, a lot of people say Christmas is pagan. And true. That's one of people's favorite things to say. And the more I unpack it, the more I was looking into it, everything seemed like it kind of fell apart a little bit. You know, there are theories that Santa Claus is based on Odin. I disagree with that from what I've seen.
Well, not the movie I saw last night.
And that's what I want to ask you about.
Oh, yeah.
That's well, so perfect.
I mean, Russell and I watched it together. It's called Violent Night. And so it just looked like a real Christmas banger. Am I right?
Yes.
So we start watching and... turns out Santa, it's basically Die Hard meets Home Alone, and Santa Claus is Die Hard.
I feel like Home Alone and Die Hard really aren't that far apart.
Well, yeah, because it kind of...
The havoc he wreaks on them.
But it's kind of like, it's interesting because Santa, throughout the movie, had this like PTSD, like, do I want to be Santa Claus? Who am I really? How do I identify with my... past prior to being Santa, which had yes. Viking Odin origins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, but what were some highlights from the movie for you?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. But let me touch on what you said. I do think that they showed him grappling with the identity crisis. And I was not expecting that from this type of thriller action
that's
movie.
That's an interesting narrative to throw into an action movie.
Like, the protagonist is... saying, who am I? Who do I want to
yes,
be?
Yes, that's true.
And that defines how he shows up in the end game, if you will.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little bit of a story of like man overcoming himself, but then also the lesson is our origins impact who we are, but we're still left with the choice of like, who do we want to be in the world?
Hmm.
That was very deep. That's way more than I got.
I said, that's actually pretty deep.
All I know is that it can be difficult to like claw that out of an action thriller when there's like blood and guts flying, but.
All I remember is that
when
you
have to ask this man over here,
you have to ask, why is he swinging the hammer that way?
That's true. That's true, man. That's awesome.
Is he angry at the world or angry at himself?
I was gonna think you'd say
some
Rambo
like, stopped and like, am I the monster?
Oh my gosh! Well, it's funny because I thought like one of the parts that you would say like, oh, that was funny, is like when he barfed on a bartender.
What? Santa Claus?
Yeah. And he's like, I had my favorite axe, Skull Crusher. Cool.
And this is the man we're putting in charge of the naughty and nice list.
Well, it just kind of happened, apparently.
He just became Santa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it seemed like he was like making the world happy. He wasn't a bad guy.
He did just bad guy stuff,
but he did some bad things. So.
You know, just because you're a bad guy doesn't mean you're a bad guy.
That's right.
To quote, right,
but no, honestly, that's actually really good insight. I think that's really good. And actually, if you think about it, with regard to our conversation today, the Santa who we perceive him to be, like we saw in him in Violent Night, represents the identity crisis that we have given him. Yeah. So who is Santa and what is his backstory and how does it impact who he is today?
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that. So I want to take it way back. And I think a lot of people know this, or at least have some recollection of it, is that Santa Claus is the English form of a Dutch name for Saint Nicholas Sinterklaas. So though modern Santa Claus is associated with a world of fantasy and lore, the historical Saint Nicholas was a godly man known for his charity and generosity.
And he was pretty important for the Bible, right? Like putting the Bible together, yeah.
This man knows too much. Did you read my notes?
No, I just kind of knew that.
I don't know how you knew this and I didn't know.
Yeah, well, you know.
This is crazy.
It's called Adventures in Odyssey.
I should have paid more attention to those episodes. So, who was St. Nicholas? Great question. Thanks for asking, guys. the reason I say that, too, is because we don't 100% know for sure. So to be clear, St. Nicholas was a real person. And to be more accurate, it was actually two people.
Oh.
So there's the one that we know of that we give credit for being Santa Claus is St. Nicholas of Myra, which is in modern-day Turkey now.
Hmm.
But there were two St. Nicholases from another area, one of them from a different area, both bishops.
Oh.
But the guy who's writing their history down didn't apparently pay that close attention. And it looks like he may have mixed both of these guys together and turned them into one person.
Interesting.
So they don't 100% know like what all he did, but all that to say, he was a real person. He did real things.
So an identity crisis was already built into his backstory?
Yeah, that's actually a really good point.
It goes all the way to the beginning.
Oh, man. So all started with... Oof. So Santa Claus all started within the church and represented by two bishops.
Yeah. But we give credit to one bishop in particular, which is St. Nicholas of Myra. So Nicholas was born in the 3rd century to wealthy Christian parents in Patara, which is the harbor in modern-day Turkey. Patara is one of the cities that the Apostle Paul visited on his third missionary journey 200 years prior. It's kind of cool. Nicholas's parents were devout believers and long prayed for a child. Nicholas was finally born, and they devoted him to God. As an only child, he was raised with special attention, like most only children. I think they're God's gift. However, his parents died while he was likely still a teenager from a plague that struck the city.
Uh-oh.
Instead of turning away from God, though, Nicholas drew closer to him. Nicholas was left with a large inheritance and decided that he would use it to honor God. He developed a good reputation in his region and was chosen to be Archbishop of Myra, when he was in his early 20s. So this that's kind of an indication that he was probably a little bit more mature and definitely had a good reputation.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, especially for someone to go through like trauma like that and then come out saying, like, no, my faith actually hasn't been wavered. It's been strengthened. And
how
I know,
unique,
like,
is that?
It's actually, it's defining character. Like, you know, I think there are a lot of people who go through traumas and as a result, they would stray from the faith because they're going to wrestle with the why would a good God. But, I mean, his actions demonstrate his maturity, knowing that, like, hey, yeah, life is awful, and God is still good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And
that's
sure a few thou didn't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, it is really cool. So during his service as archbishop, violent persecution of Christians began, and he was most likely imprisoned during this time and tortured for his faith. That's kind of speculation, but based on historically what was happening, that most likely would have happened. The persecution that began during the reign of Roman Emperor Diocletian was carried on by his successor, Galerius, for a total of 8 years. So following Galerius, Constantine claimed leadership of the entire empire and declared Christianity a legal religion in 324 AD. So St. Nicholas was around the same time as Constantine.
And this is only 300 years after Christ.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so the end of persecution and new religious freedoms created new challenges for Christianity. Constantine recognized the need for unity among Christians. So in 325 AD, which is what you're alluding to, he summoned bishops from all over the empire to meet in Nicaea and discuss critical doctrinal issues. Nicholas of Myra is listed among the bishops in attendance at this meeting. This is where the Nicene Creed was developed.
That's huge.
A big deal.
Yes.
So he's not just some Joe Schmo. Are you familiar with the creeds?
I am, but I need a refresher on the Nicene.
Not the Assassin's Creed, right?
No, yes, those games.
That's where they were all
this
made.
This is where they were written. I'm more familiar with the Apostles' Creed, but they all kind of... I don't remember what the Nicene Creed focuses on off the top of my head. But they all had like different things they focused on. And so it is interesting, and it's cool to see this kind of out of it, is that it wasn't... A lot of the issues may have been issues, but they weren't prominent until everyone could freely practice Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we were all like, wait, what do we believe? So I don't know. I find that kind of interesting, where in freedom, we have the ability to kind of focus and spend more time on what we actually believe in.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. And it's cool that it happened, and these guys were able to kind of meet together and make some decisions. So it was cool. I think that was a really neat aspect to his story. So Nicholas was well known for his kindness and generosity, and after his death around December 6th, a tradition of gift-giving was started in his honor. And many countries still observe St. Nicholas Day on December 6th. Meanwhile, in others, like the USA, the practices associated with the day were combined with Christmas. It seemed natural to many Christians that a holiday celebrating giving would merge with the birth of Christ, the greatest gift of all. However, the merger happened to the dismay of many Christian leaders who thought that St. Nicholas was drawing too much attention away from God. So in Germany...
Oh, I just parents, got back from Germany.
You did. Parents were encouraged to teach their children that the Christ child was the gift giver. The Kris Kringle is the English form of the German name for Christ child. Ironically, in America, the name Kris Kringle came to be known and used synonymously with St. Nicholas or Santa Claus.
That's how true. Did they make that jump?
Isn't that crazy?
Americans can do all sorts of things when
we
it comes
can
to
do a lot.
They felt quite free, I guess.
Yeah, free stuff. No, but I thought.
So actually, I do have an answer for that, and we'll get into that.
Well, that's I thought that like the whole presence thing started because St. Nicholas was because like kids would like try to warm their socks over the fireplace, and somehow, some way, there were like oranges that he would put into the socks that the kids would find as a surprise. And like, that's how like the stocking thing became a tradition.
That I've heard a lot of different theories. And that's one of them.
Okay.
The other thing, what I will say, what St. Nicholas, and actually, there's some wild stories about him, like, raising people from the dead and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Or, like, some guy got, like, chopped in half, and he's like, oh, yeah. Whether it's true or not, it's like, dang, this guy is kind of wild.
So I guess the
funny thing, but the story that he's, the similar stories that he is known for, one in particular where this father had three daughters and they were all super poor. And I think they wanted to like do something cool, but they didn't have any money. So what St. Nicholas would do is he would sneak down to their place at night and hide a bag of coins under their door.
Oh.
And so they'd wake up and find all this money, and they're like, where'd this money come from?
Wow.
Apparently he was known for doing that.
So,
and it kind of like, yeah.
So not only is Santa Claus based on a capital C Catholic bishop.
Yeah.
But even the presence thing, whatever form it is, he was also a generous person. Mm-hmm. And so then the rest of the Western world, particularly America in our case, like, just took it on as, like, a old Saint Nick is the present guy.
Yeah. So that's kind of the question that we're all asking now is, so how did that transformation happen from this guy who was a dedicated believer in God, follower of God, and was used to direct people toward Jesus on Christmas? How did he turn into this guy that we know today?
Well, yeah, I guess, but the other question I'd ask is, why do other people think he's like based on Odin and other characters like that?
So a lot of that is actually because they look at what he is now, the aspects to Santa Claus now, and some of them are very similar to stories about Odin and like other pagan practices.
So they take modern retellings of the story,
yep,
and they compare it to...
That's it.
So, like, there's no basis for any, other than modern stories, there's no base historical basis for him being anything other than the Catholic bishop.
Yeah, historically, there are zero ties to him and Odin.
Wow. Just out of my own curiosity, what are your sources on this?
A lot of Reddit.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you can trust that.
No, a lot of it is actually... There was a lot of Google searching and a lot of just like ancient texts and stuff, reading some of those. A lot of especially the ones that people were referencing, they're like, oh, well, in this, you know, book you can see where Odin is this. And I went and read it, and then other smarter people read it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched a lot of historians breaking down the ideas.
Interesting.
So
that's cool.
I should probably post a lot of them because they're very...
Yeah, or at least the links maybe.
Yeah.
But also, I was looking on Wikipedia.
Oh,
about
good.
The Nicene Creed, and just in like the couple of paragraphs I skimmed over, essentially the whole goal there was, hey, there are a lot of Christians out here. They believe a lot of things, but we all know that there's objective truth, and so we're going to gather as church leaders and identify the things that are absolutely true, and so they're responsible, which is also probably where the canon in the Bible kind of then stem from, because it was that same council. Here are the things that are fundamentally true about our faith, and then they start weeding out, based on what's true, then they start weeding out the things that are false or outrageous, I guess, in terms of consistent, like they look for consistency. I don't know, whatever, but.
No, that makes
again,
a lot
I just
of
skimmed
sense.
It, but.
That's cool. Yeah, I should do an episode about the creeds. That'd be kind of cool.
That'd
pretty
be cool.
Good episode.
That would be, just to get a little more context on, like...
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, how we transitioned from, like, the Acts and the early church to the medieval era, and then how do you get to
that's
now.
Huge.
There's a lot of, like, blind spots, basically, in the Dark Ages.
It's very true. And that's kind of the unfortunate thing, and we see that even with Christmas, is that because of how poor a lot of things were cataloged...
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to really know for sure.
Hmm.
And we kind of have to base it on some very abstract things. Like even this one isn't, I want it, maybe next year I'll do it on a Christmas tree. But even that one is an interesting one where it's like I think it was in the 1400s is when the first Christmas tree was officially done.
Wasn't it in Germany?
It was, yeah. And one of the reasons they know that is because of tax code.
He's on fire!
This man, he just throws Germany out for everything.
He doesn't miss. Germany! Oh, I believe Germany?
Can I have one for Germany, please? What is Germany?
That's a problem.
Yeah, right.
I've noticed this man.
Sauerkraut!
It's underrated.
Don't let them tell you different.
But yeah, so even with that, it was based on tax codes.
Really?
And different laws that were put out. They were able to break it down and look through other things and be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense for where like
no
this
way.
Probably came from.
Wait, so like...
There's some super nerds
wait,
out there.
Wait, so people... So you're saying that the origin of a Christmas tree started in Germany and it was for nothing less than a way of managing your taxes?
Oh, no. They just... One of the ways that they can put a date on it is there was a law that was passed and was like, hey, stop chopping down all the trees.
Mm. Oh, that's nuts.
Yeah.
That's... Whoever figured that out is a super nerd.
Yeah. There's some proper dweebs out there.
No, like, am I interested? Yes.
But I just don't want to be the guy that figured it out. So,
Do you think like he had a moment where he's just like, glasses down, like, this changes everything.
Yes.
Mother of God.
He's been on a 3-year journey yeah. and he finds his answer.
I got my scoop. Got my big break.
He's on the phone with his sponsor, like, I don't know, Daryl. I think it's gonna be no, just give me I just need 3 more days.
Yes, exactly.
I just need a little more time.
Like the loan sharks come after him too. It's like, hey, I lent you that money for that research. How's it going?
I'm looking through the tax code now, man.
It's every treasure hunt movie ever.
Yeah,
I need 5 more days to find the gold.
I have 24 hours.
We're in the Antarctic. I found the Charlotte.
He did it.
I love Nicolas Cage.
Ben, you did it.
We did it.
Wait, is there a Nicolas Cage Christmas movie?
There needs
to
be.
Oh, there should be.
Like he was in a Christmas film.
Is that still recording? It is. Okay, cool.
I don't know. Willy's Wonderland was a gift to me. I mean, I felt like Christmas yeah, all over
ever
again.
Done as a gift.
Oh my gosh.
So oh, back man. To the old fatty boy.
Yeah. So the
I don't know why I love calling
so the question before I interrupted your question was basically how did America create him into who he is today?
Yeah. So how did this happen? So. So this is actually kind of the part where I don't go with the claims on the pagan side of things. The mythology of Santa Claus is different from culture to culture, which you experienced some of that as well in Germany.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah.
Keeping that to yourself now.
Why did he shut down all this? Yeah, that was really interesting. Actually, you know what? So, yeah, because we're in Austria. We were in Germany, then we slid down to Austria.
When I lived in Austria,
is that what I said?
No, you should though.
Oh yeah, back in my day.
How long did you live in Austria? 3 days.
Yeah, it was all it was enough.
I got the gist.
I got the gist. No, but like what was interesting is I had no idea. They have this 3-day, tradition where. The first day, the witches come to town, and all these communities all over Austria have these gypsy witches, quote unquote, roaming through the streets, and they got these little brushes. They're brushing kids, trying to encourage them to be good, because on day 2, I'm gonna say this like a yuppie, Krampus or Krampus, he's basically
Krampus.
It looks like Satan. Yeah. He's got the horns and he's hairy and stuff.
So cool.
He'll come and he's got this basket. And if you're a bad kid, he's going to snag you up, put you into your basket, and you're never going to be seen again.
No way.
When you were there? Did he put
Well, it's funny because they had this huge parade. They had everything barricaded off. And they had it was nuts. They had 900 people dressed up as Krampus.
And, I get goosebumps every time.
So, they have these like sticks they're using to whip people. So they're they have flares and they got glowing eyes on their costumes, and they got these jingle bells on too. And so they're walking around. It's kind of crazy, and especially the younger teenage girls, these guys who are dressed up as Krampus would like run up to them. Again, there's a barrier, and they're like whipping them like as hard as they can.
What?
Yeah, and it was like this is nuts, and like everyone's laughing and having a good time, and you have a girl on the ground like, oh, it hurts, and everyone's like, oh, it's such a good time.
What?
Fun, yeah, for the whole family.
Yeah, that's right. It was like, this is crazy. There's like 900 people like running through this parade dressed as Krampus, just like whipping all these people, especially these teenage girls. It was weird. And then, but the third day, you have St. Nicholas who comes out, and he's legit dressed as a bishop. Now that I'm putting the pieces together.
No way.
That's so cool.
And he's basically like, he's caged Krampus, and he's now giving kids candy. It's like, again, like, okay, yeah, this is my American perspective looking in, and that's like what the gist that I got out of it. I probably have a couple of details wrong.
Yeah.
But that's what I, you know, that's what I got out of it.
You know, a life goal of mine became, after you sent me that video of Krampus.
Krampus?
Krampus? After him going through, I was like, there's just like hardcore metal music being played behind.
Yeah,
me.
There was.
Yes.
And I was like, speakers and flares. It was nuts.
I was like, how do I open for Krampus? How do I be the act?
Oh man, that's funny.
Be like, yeah, can I talk to Krampus's agent? I want to open for him. That'd be sick. But yeah, so it's like even that, it's like it's a whole different way of looking at Christmas. And actually, it's interesting because a lot of the ideas that we get, especially some of our modern ones, originated from Germany, mm-hmm, and a lot of the practices and traditions we have. And at the time where that happened, Germany was also very Christianized. So a lot of the practices started there and were created specifically for Christmas and Christianity. So it's kind of an interesting idea. So with all of that said, a lot of the traditions we have around Christmas came from Germany in the 1800s, just like I said. Wow, it's almost like I read my notes. So Santa's reindeer, they fly, right? They fly now.
Oh, yes.
But they didn't fly until 1823 in Clement Clark Moore's poem.
Took them that long to figure it out.
They could not get it. In that poem, they whisk the sleigh, presumably on the ground up until that point, onto the rooftop. Sinterklaas's horse didn't ride on rooftops until 1850. Sinterklaas is widely regarded as the main antecedent of Santa Claus. And Jan Schmenkman's classic St. Nicholas... Oh, sorry. St. Nicholas ends in night.
That's a good attempt.
I'll stick with it.
Nailed
has
it.
A bit about him riding his horse on the roofs. If it's earlier than there's been no evidence basically of nothing before that. And the book dates to 1850, more than a quarter of a century after 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. So the celebrations didn't start to become mainstream until 1870s or so. All of the mythology of Santa flying is 19th century in origin. Moreover, the detail about rooftops leads me to suspect influence of Moore's American poem. And so to kind of put a little thing into Odin's idea, so Odin's horse, a lot of people claim that he flew, but he actually didn't fly at all. And there's no pagan sources that even hint at anything to that kind.
So you're saying people say Odin's horse could fly, but there's no historical document to justify that claim.
Correct. Because there are a lot of people that say, oh, well, Santa's reindeer fly or his horse flew, and so did Odin's. But it's actually a misreading. Odin's horse never flew, and also Santa's horses and reindeer never flew until very recently. And so there's a lot of interesting things with that that even go just further and further into it. And as early as the 1600s, St. Nicholas was riding his horse down chimneys in the Netherlands. By 1809, he was riding across treetops in Dutch American traditions in New York. Moore's poem does seem to be where his horse metamorphoses into reindeer, but the point is the flying element is earlier than the 19th century.
Fascinating.
Isn't it fascinating? So, like many stories and traditions, they They can die out or become unpopular. In the 16th century in Northern Europe, after the Reformation, St. Nicholas became unpopular.
What?
Yeah.
Santa?
Santa. But the children love Santa. So, however, though, in the early 1800s, writers and poets and artists, we've talked about a few already, another one is such as Washington Irving, rediscovered the old Dutch stories about St. Nicholas. And in their new and reworked stories, St. Nicholas, Sinterklaas, became Santa Claus.
But wait, why was he unpopular?
So it's kind of, they didn't really say, I wasn't able to see anything like why specifically, but it's kind of like how, you know, we've got jokes that kind of come and go. That was the same thing it seemed to be with this, where it's like people were just kind of like outgrowing the idea of these kinds of celebrations and recognizing St. Nicholas.
Oh, so it's not that like something bad happened and people are like, no. I don't like Santa. It's just like, it just wasn't
It just wasn't cool anymore.
Oh.
And so with that, it's like it had a period of, for a couple hundred years, where it just kind of died.
Can you imagine, like, that's a trend? A couple yeah. hundred years is a trend. And, like, trends last, like, a week here.
Yeah, it's true.
That's nuts.
Yeah, so there was so much history and tradition that happened, and then it just kind of, like, eh. No one does
yeah,
it anymore.
We've been doing it for 300 years.
Kind of done.
You know.
And then, yeah, it wasn't until, like, Clement Clark Moore, Washington Irving, all these other people found the old stories and heard them and then kind of reimagined Santa Claus and wrote their stuff, which is where we get who we have today.
Oh, interesting.
So that's why even, like, talking about the flying and all this and that, that all happened in, like, the 1800s and even mid to late
1800s. Wait, so 1823? Is that the year you said?
I believe so, for his poem.
And that, like, that's when the revitalization of Santa?
1822.
So 1822, that's 40 yeah. years before the Civil War.
Yeah.
And so there's the War 1812. That's nuts.
And a lot of it came from Germany, too, because I believe they were the ones that celebrated it mostly.
Mm.
And even the ideas of, like, yeah, all those things that kind of surrounded.
Wow.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
It does. I was like trying, like when I hear those years, trying to pinpoint it to other events in history.
Yeah.
Helps me like create a picture of like the world they were in.
Mm.
Yeah. Man, any other like historical dates you can think of around that time?
Sorry, what era? Between 18...
like the...
1822-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggie is Civil War 1862 or so, yeah. But... It's hard. Like, I think that's kind of an empty spot between like late 1700s, birth of the U.S., moving into 1860s.
I mean, well, sure, you think about that. Late 1700s, and then 50 years later, we've got Santa that gets revitalized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, why then?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, even talking about the birth of the Christmas tree in the 1400s, that was around the same time that Christopher Columbus discovered America as well.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
So it's a tradition older than the colonies. That's kind of a crazy
It's kind of crazy, right?
You're both looking at me like...
Yeah, like I thought you were going to like laugh at something I just... Because I misspoke right there.
No. I was like deep in introspective thought there.
He's in a whole other place.
The Industrial Revolution was 18... What, 20?
Actually,
it was early 1800s. I'm
looking this up.
Whoa. That's huge.
That's when they built like the conveyor belts and the farming equipment and steam-powered... Yeah. Like, coal machines and...
That makes a lot of sense. And the reason I say that is because...
The Titanic, I think, was like 1815.
Really?
Oh, they
yeah,
say
so like
1760 to 1840 was...
Okay, so it was a bigger time span.
During that period,
but yeah,
though,
it was maybe like...
It was in that time.
So...
And it makes sense, though, because you think when it comes to art really can't happen when everyone has to be a farmer.
Art went to die in the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of where it kind of came out of, too. When you look at us like American artists and American poets, it's like there really aren't any until, you know, a period of time where we're kind of established.
Richard Wagner, modern composer, early 1900s. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's like there's this big dead spot where there's no creativity or no, like,
'cause we're just fighting for our
production.
Lives.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to paint when you're in the coal mine 7 days a week. It's
So, so that paints a cool picture when you add the Industrial Revolution into this, where you have people that are doing something new, and then here are these hipsters that are like, "Oh, I found this old Dutch poem. Mm-hmm. Check this."
That is
out.
Such a hipster thing, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Freaking hipsters.
So I mean, what's the takeaway here? Like,
I'm so glad you asked.
Like,
I need to have you guys on the podcast all the time. I feel like we should make this an annual thing.
Like, I feel
talking about Christmas.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fun.
We should do one for every holiday.
Oh,
the origin of Halloween. That's going to be a banger episode.
Oh, yeah,
you're
right.
You know what's funny you bring that up is that there are some things that came from Christmas carols.
Oh, really?
That got moved over to Halloween.
Oh.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. I read this, so I can't verify it, but it sounds right.
Okay.
Is they're saying, so we have, you know, we wish you Merry Christmas, wish you Merry Christmas, blah, blah, blah. Now give us some figgy pudding, and we won't go until we get some. So apparently there was a lot of orphan children in particular that would sing that outside of people's houses, and they meant it. And if you didn't give them any pudding even still, they would vandalize your house.
Okay, so side
and
note.
That was then kind of taken from that and moved to Halloween, which is where we get trick or treat.
So in other countries, there's similar things where people will carol and they'll go to your house, and it's basically the expectation, you'll give me something and I'm not going to leave until you do. So I think it's maybe handled a little bit more like as a fun holiday tradition, but people will literally show up at your house and carol the song that you weren't asking for, and they either need like a holiday treat or some cash or something, and that's the tradition. They won't leave until you do that for them.
You know what makes it even funnier is now it makes sense for you, like, these freaking carolers.
Yes.
It's just a reason why.
Yeah.
Now I know why people hate carolers.
It's, like, it's a form of begging.
They're just busking.
They're begging in the holiday spirit. Like, you don't want to be a killjoy and call the cops on them.
Freaking carolers outside.
Freaking orphan kids that need some food.
That's a
how
side
dare they?
That's a twist. Get out of here.
That's an oldie side hustle.
I think we should bring it back. You guys want to go caroling after this?
Yeah, good luck, Paul.
We would make like $20 and eat some lead. We're in Polk County. We're getting shot at. So.
Yeah, we're not going to leave until you do.
Okay,
well, maybe we will leave.
But it's our idea. Maybe I'll try next door. So what's the takeaway? That's a great question. So the reason that we went from a God-fearing bishop to a magical elf who lives on the North Pole is because we stopped caring.
Mm.
Hold on. What? Stopped caring about what?
Well, because St. Nicholas became unpopular. People stopped celebrating him.
So we forgot.
We forgot
our origin.
Yeah.
We forgot St. Nick.
And so we took what we could see and reimagined it and reinvented it to our modern, to what made sense to us now. I say now, being 1822.
Oh.
I thought that'd be an easier transition, but...
No, I just like, that was a jaw drop, man.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
it's like, we've got this game of telephone. It's Santa Claus's story, I think, is such a perfect example of just like story on top of story on top of myth on top of myth on top of telephone on top of telephone.
Mm.
And it's like, we've gone from who this person was and what he represented and what he was used for to then something that is completely contrary to his original intention. Originally, he was meant to help inspire us to be generous and kind and look toward the ultimate gift, which was Jesus. But instead, it's been used to take the center stage of Christmas and say, oh, he's the gift giver.
Mm.
But it's like, no, he's not the gift giver. He was a guy who gave gifts, but the intent was to point us toward God, toward Christ.
So I know you got more to say, but
I do.
I am curious. So like, how does, so he's trying to point us towards Christ. So like, how does that align with, okay, so like Jesus was born in the spring. Why are we celebrating it on December 25th? Where did coal come from? Is that even, that's a, probably a completely different conversation, but like, so like, because Jesus's birth is so far removed from the winter, how do they explain that?
So there, I don't know off the top of my head. I didn't write any of this down.
Oh.
But I did look a little bit. That'll be for next year. We'll talk about that next year.
Sure.
Because that is, in and of itself, a really big point that a lot of people bring up. Because we have, like, Saturnalia and Yule and all these other traditions that people say, mm-hmm. oh, these are Christians trying to take over pagan holidays. And from what I've seen, I don't have anything to back it up right now, is that it was actually the reverse. So, there's a lot in
well,
there.
Yeah, when you're arguing, he's like, yeah, our tradition starts 300 AD. When does yours start? It's like, well, that's a good question.
But there's a lot in there to unpack, and I think that in of itself would be a great episode to do.
Interesting. Yeah, because like I know people say like, oh, first it was the winter solstice, and then Christians came in. Or they say, you know, this whole tree thing is because of Viking or at least pagan, whatever that is. I think it was referred to as Vikings. Same with the
There's the Yule log and Saturnalia. Right.
Yeah, so you have all these other people saying that actually this belongs to us.
Yeah, and they're dead wrong.
Okay,
but that'll be for another time. Because those are big conversations that deserve their own time as well, which is fun. But going back to this, you know, that's why we have celebrations and we have traditions, is because we don't want to forget. And yet, when we forget, stuff gets reinvented. We reinvent holidays, reinvent ideas, and we also forget why we're even doing things. You know, Passover existed for Israel to remember what God had done for them. Mm-hmm. But it's not the activities that we are remembering. It's why we do these activities. They're to help us remember. During communion, we drink wine or grape juice, if that's your church, which is most people actually just drink some juice. And we break and eat bread because it helps us to remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. Christmas is meant for us to remember the incarnation of Christ, Jesus, to remember him being the greatest gift, and we come together and share with each other a gift to remember that. The point of Christmas isn't to share a gift with someone, but it's an act that we do to help trigger a memory in us to remember why we're doing this. Santa Claus is not the point. He instead is meant to point us toward Christ. Just like the cross is a symbol that helps us remember Jesus' sacrifice, Saint Nicholas is another symbol to help us remember when the same Jesus emptied himself and took on human form. To be born in a stable to a virgin mother, it marks the birth of the one who is preeminent in all things, who fulfilled the prophecies, lived a sinless life, died, resurrected, and is the one who is worthy to open the final scroll. Christmas marks the birth. It's the day that we remember the birth of the one who did all of this so that we could be reconciled to God.
That's powerful.
Thank you.
That's a really good conclusion. Yeah.
And that's what I got on Santa Claus.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Do you guys have any final thoughts or anything?
I have a lateral point to this that really, what we were talking about, Santa's origins really trigger this. And something you said in the conclusion, essentially through hundreds of years, through the game of telephone, we forgot our origins, right? We forgot what Saint Nick really represented, which was really a picture of the Savior or Christ. And it reminds me, if you guys have ever seen the movie The Lion King.
Never seen it.
So for a little context, The Lion King, there's the character of Simba, right? And he's essentially the son of the king, Mufasa. And he gets disbanded from his kingdom. And it's really almost like a coming-of-age story where he has to find his identity. And there's a turning point when he's out searching by himself where he has dreams of his father. And his father is saying to him, like, don't forget who you are. Mm. He's always been a king. He just needs to become the king for himself. And it's a little bit of like the similar story. Like, we forgot who Santa represented. It was never about Santa or gift givings or the tradition. It was remembering Jesus. It was just the symbol to bring us back to that. So I think the big like lesson and takeaway is don't let your identity change. Like, you're still the same person at your core. Hmm.
That's cool.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, something that you said in your conclusion was like, all right, Passover, it's celebrating, remembering how God miraculously brought the Israelites out of slavery. And then like I recall recently reading in Deuteronomy, pretty sure it's Deuteronomy, Moses is speaking to these Israelites. God has confirmed to Moses for like a fifth time, like, yeah, you're not going to the promised land. Mm. And so Moses, though pretty upset about that, is talking to all the Israelites. And this is the new generation. This is the next generation after all those who escaped from Egypt. And he's telling the entire story from the beginning to God's creation to now. And he's like, at the end of his entire story, he says, hold these truths into your heart and remember these things, lest you forget the good things that God has done, and lest they depart from your heart and you live like the pagans that surround you in other nations. Mm. So it's like, what is going to make us, I mean, obviously this is a message for the Israelites, but then also our takeaway is lest we forget, like, Moses is telling them, like, hey, if you don't remember these days like the Passover when Jesus or when God brought them out of slavery, like swiftly, you know, and if you don't remember all these things over these 40 years in the wilderness that God has done, miraculously feeding them, giving them water from rocks, single-handedly destroying armies and kings that stood against them, delivering them and making them promises that God has at this point continually made good on. It's like, if you forget those things, and how often do we experience good things in our life that God does that like a couple days or weeks or years later, we're like, yeah, but maybe it was just that.
Yeah.
And it's like, so Moses is telling the Israelites, like, remember what these good things that God has done, because not only is it a sin to then justify and forget the good things God has done, but when we start forgetting the good things God has done, we forget how good he is. And so with, you know, the Saint Nicholas, like, he's trying to point us towards the greatest thing. And as we forget those traditions, we forget what he really cared about, we reimagine him and package him differently for our own marketing schemes or whatnot. It becomes a real problem, because then we start forgetting how good God actually is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and for us, as we are here at Christmas, I think it's a lot of people that I know are shy away, a lot of Christians shy away from the traditions or the cliches of Christmas, like Santa Claus or a tree or something like that. When it's really, those aren't things that we should shy away from or need to. We just have to remember what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, how you celebrate Santa? I'm not a parent, so I'm like, do you tell your kid to believe in him? I think that's up for you guys to decide. But what are they believing in? I think that's the important thing, is knowing, hey, this is who St. Nicholas was. Let's not forget that. And let's move on and enjoy Christmas with that in mind.
Bring on the figgy pudding.
and I won't leave until I get some.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. Oh,
I'm fresh out.
Oh, you should have grabbed another one.
Well, I didn't want to look like an alcoholic.
What do you think we do on here?
Oh, man.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you guys for being here.
Oh, yeah,
thank you.
It's been really fun.
Good. It was a gift.
I don't know how long we've been recording for.
That's the true meaning of
Christmas.
It's
probably over an hour.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. See you guys.